Now turn to part three. You'll hear part of an interview with Hal Jordan, who has recently written a book on the history of music. For questions 18 to 22, choose the answer A, B, C or D, which fits best according to what you hear. You now have 1 minute in which to look at part three.
In the studio, we have Hal Jordan, eminent classical composer and music historian. Hal has written a fascinating book tracing the major breakthroughs in the history of music. Now, I'd like to start at the wrong end, so to speak, and ask you, Hal, what effect do you think computers have had on music and composing in particular?
Well, the most obvious one is practical. A composer can use a computer like a word processor to speed up the whole business of writing the parts for individual instruments in an orchestral piece. Mm-hmm. But like the innovation of word processing for writers, it has to some extent changed the psychology of the way we write as well, because you can try things out that you wouldn't have tried before. Mm-hmm. So I think that's one thing. Although there's a catch to all this, which is that only someone who can read music can tell whether what the computer has come up with is right. And what we spend all our time doing is correcting what the computer has produced. But I'm not sure what's going to happen in 50 years' time when people no longer know what music's supposed to look like.
But computers take some of the drudgery out of your work.
Oh, certainly. But some composers have also used them to play games with music. You know, by introducing the chance principle, where you just let the computer choose notes. What's interesting is that in this experiment, we're bypassing the human ear, which has always been crucial in assessing music. And after a while, everybody's realised it's a blind alley.
But not a complete waste of time, surely. Culturally, things happen for a time until something becomes a convention, and then it's absolutely necessary creatively to break that convention. Perhaps machines can help us do that?
Yeah, absolutely. Machines generally have had a huge effect on music, and the most obvious one is the invention of recorded sound at the end of the 19th century. Unpredictable things ensued. For example, that music from one culture was carried to another, mixed with it and started a third form of music. Or the fact that audiences started to hear music they were unaccustomed to, and this affected how they listened, the way they heard their own music.
Looking at earlier breakthroughs, how was music passed on before people worked out a system for writing music down on paper? Notation, I believe it's called, isn't it?
Correct, yes. Well, it was done largely by memory or by someone singing it to someone else. Mm-hmm. As simple as that. Oddly enough, the invention of notation in Europe in about the year 1000 was the first big step that took Western music away from other forms of music, because elsewhere people never really cracked it. They kept to the traditional way, which involved memory and improvisation, so music happened spontaneously. What notation did was that it said, this is what it's like today, and we can perform it tomorrow exactly the same. We can hand it to someone who's never met us, if they're suitably proficient, and they'll play it as well.
Except they don't, do they?
Not exactly, but it's closer than any other system's ever been. And the other thing was that it gave you a graphic layout for music, and it meant you could have architecture for music. You could build structures you couldn't possibly conceive of just by improvising or singing to your mate.
So it shifted the balance of power from the performer to the composer.
Before that, all performers were composers, in a way, because they were making it up as they went along. Still, in some Eastern music and European folk music too, the composer and the performer are the same person.
This reminds me of the impact of writing on language. Mm-hmm. Some linguists talk about the invention of writing having cost us dear, as it removed us from the spontaneity of process and fixed it more in place.
Except that it's also true that the spontaneous version of music carried on alongside. Notation was just another tool. Take jazz, which is an African-Western amalgamation in which people improvise, and yet it's intermingled with the techniques of notation. Some listeners believe erroneously that jazz is chaotic, while the musicians are actually working to a prearranged pattern, like a map, if you like. But instead of having it set out in front of them, it's in their heads.
And so let's turn to another subject.
Now you'll hear part three again.
In the studio, we have Hal Jordan, eminent classical composer and music historian. Hal has written a fascinating book tracing the major breakthroughs in the history of music. Now, I'd like to start at the wrong end, so to speak, and ask you, Hal, what effect do you think computers have had on music and composing in particular?
Well, the most obvious one is practical. A composer can use a computer like a word processor to speed up the whole business of writing the parts for individual instruments in an orchestral piece. But like the innovation of word processing for writers, it has to some extent changed the psychology of the way we write as well, because you can try things out that you wouldn't have tried before. So I think that's one thing. Although there's a catch to all this, which is that only someone who can read music can tell whether what the computer has come up with is right. And what we spend all our time doing is correcting what the computer has produced. But I'm not sure what's going to happen in 50 years' time when people no longer know what music's supposed to look like.
But computers take some of the drudgery out of your work.
Oh, certainly. But some composers have also used them to play games with music. You know, by introducing the chance principle, where you just let the computer choose notes. What's interesting is that in this experiment, we're bypassing the human ear, which has always been crucial in assessing music. And after a while, everybody's realised it's a blind alley.
But not a complete waste of time, surely. Culturally, things happen for a time until something becomes a convention, and then it's absolutely necessary creatively to break that convention. Perhaps machines can help us do that?
Yeah, absolutely. Machines generally have had a huge effect on music, and the most obvious one is the invention of recorded sound at the end of the 19th century. Unpredictable things ensued. For example, that music from one culture was carried to another, mixed with it and started a third form of music. Or the fact that audiences started to hear music they were unaccustomed to, and this affected how they listened, the way they heard their own music.
Looking at earlier breakthroughs, how was music passed on before people worked out a system for writing music down on paper? Notation, I believe it's called, isn't it?
Correct, yes. Well, it was done largely by memory or by someone singing it to someone else. As simple as that. Oddly enough, the invention of notation in Europe in about the year 1000 was the first big step that took Western music away from other forms of music, because elsewhere people never really cracked it. They kept to the traditional way, which involved memory and improvisation, so music happened spontaneously. What notation did was that it said, this is what it's like today, and we can perform it tomorrow exactly the same. We can hand it to someone who's never met us, if they're suitably proficient, and they'll play it as well.
Except they don't, do they?
Not exactly, but it's closer than any other system's ever been. And the other thing was that it gave you a graphic layout for music, and it meant you could have architecture for music. You could build structures you couldn't possibly conceive of just by improvising or singing to your mate.
So it shifted the balance of power from the performer to the composer.
Before that, all performers were composers, in a way, because they were making it up as they went along. Still, in some Eastern music and European folk music too, the composer and the performer are the same person.
This reminds me of the impact of writing on language. Some linguists talk about the invention of writing having cost us dear, as it removed us from the spontaneity of process and fixed it more in place.
Except that it's also true that the spontaneous version of music carried on alongside. Notation was just another tool. Take jazz, which is an African-Western amalgamation in which people improvise, and yet it's intermingled with the techniques of notation. Some listeners believe erroneously that jazz is chaotic, while the musicians are actually working to a prearranged pattern, like a map, if you like. But instead of having it set out in front of them, it's in their heads.
And so let's turn to another subject.
That's the end of part three.